Colossians chapter 2, if you'll turn with me, I'm going to read verse 15. I'm believing God to bless us and minister to us. Remember tonight, 6 o'clock, camp meeting, church. Hello? Man, you don't want to miss church around here. You never know what's going to happen, literally. Some of y'all catch that in a minute. It's a whole new world every day. Amen. But do be here. Last Sunday night, we had an awesome time. Had people leaving here drunk. Thought we was going to have to get some designated drivers. Glory. I don't see nothing wrong with that. Amen. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. The Bible tells us, Paul writing to the church at Colossae said, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch, Lord, with the power of your divine grace. Minister to us, Lord, in your glory. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look him right in the eye and say, "Hey, God's on our side." Amen. Praise God. Last week I spoke to you and I talked about the five lies the devil would have you to believe. I want to talk to you this morning about three things the devil hopes you never find out. Hello? Amen. See, it's very interesting, the verse of scripture that I have before me today. See, the reason Paul phrases it the way he did, he's creating a mental picture for the church at Colossae because he understands the people understand military warfare. He understands the custom of the day. And he's talking about a tradition that would usually take place after an enemy has been defeated. Notice the three things Paul says in verse. Paul says that they were being spoiling, and that there was a showing, and there was a triumphing. I want to look at that, but I'm going to change it just a little bit. I'm going to call it the stripping, the shaming, and the subduing. Amen. Praise God. Somebody said, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" Because that's exactly what happened to the devil when Jesus came off the cross. Could you say amen to that, church? Praise be unto God. You say, "Preacher, what are you getting about?" First of all, there's a stripping. Notice the Bible said having spoiled, it means that an individual's been stripped of their regal garments. The word spoil simply comes from a Greek word, ikidu, which means to strip, to undress, or to take off the clothes of another. When a king had triumphed over another, and it is customary thing to do, is to strip the defeated king of all of his medals, ribbons, armor, and clothing. Amen. They would literally take them and dress them down. You say, "Preacher, can you prove that?" It was a thing they'd done. When the children of Israel were defeated by the Babylonians, what did they do to them? They took all the clothes off of everybody. Amen. Now you say, "Preacher, what does that mean?" That tells me that it doesn't matter what you got in this world. When the enemy takes you down, you're all going to be the same. Could you say amen to that, church? Say, what are you getting at? When those clothes were gone, nobody has any sign. Because see, in the Middle East, you wear your clothes according to how much money you got. If you got the right kind of money, you wear real nice clothes. And so therefore, by taking the clothes off, everybody was on the same level. Can I tell you that when the enemy attacks, he's going to try to destroy you and take away everything that he's got? But can I tell you, you need to understand who you serve, because our God has already put him under his foot. Our God has already defeated him. Amen. And it's because Jesus Christ is victor that I understand that I'm not going to be stripped anymore, and I'm not being taken down anymore. But that enemy that comes against me is already defeated in the name of Jesus Christ. Could you say amen to that, church? Amen. The devil does not want you to understand he's walking in defeat every day of his life. He wants you to believe he has power and he's got authority. But can I tell you, if you're under the blood of Jesus Christ, he has no power and he has no authority and he has no ability to take you down. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. You say, "Preacher, you believe that?" Yes. Listen, Paul uses illustration to relate to the saints. The writing of the Jesus has done this very thing to the devil. Satan's been stripped of all of his authority. Amen. You say, "Preacher, where'd he get the authority?" When Adam and Eve gave it away in the Garden of Eden. Hello? Notice I didn't say Eve and I didn't say Adam, because both of them done it. The Bible does specify that it came through Adam. Somebody said, "Well, that woman deceived him." But the problem was, it was him that was supposed to hold up mankind. Hello? What you've got is a man that didn't know how to tell his wife no, and a woman didn't know a line when she heard one. Glory. Hello? Come on, church. But the truth of the matter is, when man fell in the garden, Satan took control of the earth, and he reigned. But can I tell you that before he ever took control of the earth in the garden, God knew it was coming. Amen. You say, preacher, prove it. Hey, John in the book of Revelation said, I saw Jesus as a lamb slain before the foundations of the world. So before man ever lost control of the earth in the garden, Jesus was already on his way with victory. Amen. And the devil didn't have enough sense to figure it out. Could you say amen to that, church? Praise God. Amen. Listen. He is not the pompous general that he's dressed up to be. He loves to snort and blow. We got people talking about, oh, the devil did this, the devil did that. The devil don't do anything you don't let him do. Come on, church. Why? Because he's been stripped of his authority. He does not have authority in your life unless you give it to him. I had somebody tell me, say, well, the devil knows everything going on in my life. If you'd shut up telling everybody about it, he wouldn't. How'd you know I got a bad back? Because every time somebody passes you, how you doing? My back's killing me. Somebody said, do you want me to give you prayer requests? I don't mind prayer requests. You just don't have to keep it and make it, you know, your life's work. We got some people, if you got healed, you wouldn't have a thing to live for. Come on, church. Literally, Daystar Church in Northport, it's called Daystar Family Church. It was assembly at the time. Brother Pat Schatzline decided one Sunday God wanted to have a healing service. He called a healing service for Sunday night. You know that two of his deacons missed. Now, you got to understand Brother Schatzline, he's pretty adamant about if you're going to be a spiritual leader, you show up at church. If you don't show up at church, we'll get somebody to take your place. And so they were having church that night, and he marked it down that two of those guys are supposed to be there to help him pray for folks wasn't there. He called one of them. He said, Pastor, I couldn't come. He said, why? He said, I just got my disability started. If I got healed, it'd mess up my whole life. Brother Schatzline called me the next morning. He said, what do you think about that? I said, well, he believes in God. He said, why is that? I said, he's afraid he would get healed if he showed up. Glory. I said, it'd been me. I'd have prayed he got healed at home just to mess up his life. Amen. Come on, church. But you know the truth of the matter, we've got people that actually believe that. It's important for us to remember what Jesus said when he was on the cross. When he was on the cross, he said, it is finished, not I'm finished. Amen. He didn't say, I've quit, I've give up. He said, I've accomplished it. I've done what I came to do. What did he come to do? He said, for this cause came I into the world, that I might destroy the works of the devil. You need to understand, Satan is defeated. Could you say amen? Psalm 68 and 18. Listen to what the word of God said. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast taken captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts from men. You say, what are you talking about? Jesus Christ did die. He did go to the grave. But I'm telling you, on the third day, under the power of his omnipotence, he chunked the stone out of the way and came out of that grave. And he said, I am he that was dead, yet now I'm alive, and I shall live forevermore. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, though they die, yet shall they live. Could you say amen to that, church? Hallelujah. Now, you may not have had the privilege to get over there, but let me point something out to you. If you go to the tomb Jesus was buried in, there is a groove that that rock was in. That rock was just a big old piece of stone that was stuck in that hole, and all they did was roll it out of the way and roll it back in place. Now, notice this. For it to be from where it was to where it landed, it had to have been thrown. You had to pick it up and throw it. It would have took 10 or 12 good men to have moved that rock. But the Bible said it was at the bottom of the hill and an angel was sitting on it when the men found it. You know why? Because Jesus decided, I'm coming out, and the rock just went flying. Come on, church. You say, preacher, you believe that? I believe one can speak it into existence, can throw it out of the way anytime he takes an ocean. Glory. Come on, church. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he has ascended, what is it? But he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. That he descended into the same, also he ascended up above all heavens, that he might be all things. Could you say amen to that, church? Praise God. And listen, he came to this earth with a normal name. Before him, Jesus wasn't a big deal. Amen. I mean, Joshua actually means Jehovah salvation. Same thing. It was just Jesus in another language. But now that he's come forth from the grave, God has given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess of things of the earth and things that are under the earth. You know what that means? All I got to do is say his name, and Satan's got to stand still, because he understands that's a name I can't cross. That's somebody I can't deal with. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. He stripped him of his power. Now notice this, the shaming. Amen. The shaming was the second part of the ritual. At this point, the losing king stripped down to nothing and is chained to a chariot and dragged in the dust for all to see. Any of y'all ever seen the movie Troy? It's actually based on historical fact. But when the son of the king was killed by the other guy, Artaxerxes, he actually tied him on the back of the chariot and drug him around. Took him back to his place so his daddy couldn't bury him with a decent burial, and he finally went and begged to let him do it. But that's what they did. They'd drag him sometime after they killed him or before they killed him. The whole idea was letting the world know this guy in bad shape. I put him to open shame. I not only defeated him, but now I own him. It's a thing about their pride. Hello? Say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, you see, you got to understand, people that are monarchs and kings of countries, they've never known what it was to beg. They've never known what it was to be without. Very few kings make it to kingship like David, where you're an old shepherd boy and get anointed and become king. Most of them are raised in a household. All they've ever known is the golden spoon and the great way. They've never had to work for a living. And now all of a sudden they're there, their army gets whooped, their clothes are stripped off them, and now they're getting drugged behind a chariot because it messes up their pride, because now they're filthy and dirty like everybody else and skin up like some kid that fell off a hill somewhere, and their pride goes down. You say, preacher, why is that important? Because it was pride that brought the fall of Satan, and it is pride that Jesus used to tear him the rest of the way down. Can I tell you right now, we need to understand the shaming is important. God didn't just take his power away, but he let him understand, you ain't got a shot. I'm going to put you down and you ain't coming up. You may thought one day you were going to be God, but you will never make it. Could you say amen? You say, preacher, can you prove that? Ezekiel, if you'll turn with me to the 28th chapter. The Bible said that, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle, and the gold, the workmanship of thy terrets, tamarisks, and of thy pipes were prepared in thee the day thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Now, church, stop right there. He is not talking about an earthly king. He is describing a guy by the name of Lucifer, the light bearer, the most beautiful angel ever created, who was created for a purpose. He was there to worship God and to lead the worship of God. He was the worship leader. He had the ability to use music. He produced music. The first time music was ever heard, it came out of Satan. Hello? Some of y'all, I ain't going there right now. But he got to leading worship so much that he got to running. The Bible talks about him moving merchandise. Hello? You say, wait a minute, preacher. 16th verse, by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? He got to listening to the worship so much, he got to thinking, man, I deserve that, not him. I wonder sometime when folks sit around bloated, not raising a hand, saying praise God every once in a while, if they're not sitting there going, well, you know, he's really not worth it. I am, you know, I'm God's great, wonderful gift to the church. Hey, baby, glad I'm here. I'm the biggest tithe payer. I got news for you, honey. If you're all stuck up in pride, you need God to break you down, and he will sooner or later, because pride comes before the fall. Amen. And Satan's there talking about, oh, I'll ascend to heaven. I'll make myself like him, and then everybody can worship me. And God said, because of your pride, I'm going to cast you out of heaven. Amen. And let me tell you something, church. You think God's got a problem with the devil? Jesus said, I beheld him as lightning cast down out of the sky. Can I tell you, when God said go, he flew out of there at 187,000 miles a second. Some of y'all get that in a minute. That's the speed of light. Glory. Can you imagine? He's standing there talking to God. And he's on the earth going, whoo, that burnt. Hello? Some of y'all get that in a minute. Amen. See, Satan was designed to lead the worship in heaven. He was over all that was going on. Listen to what he tells Isaiah. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mountain of the congregation, the sides of the north, and I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. That's what's behind what Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 3, verse 6. He said, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, we fall into the condemnation of the devil. What's the condemnation of the devil? His pride. The shaming bothers the devil maybe more than anything else because it tears his pride down and it takes him down. But can I tell you, honey, I'm not worried about what the devil does because I am wise to his devices. Could you say amen? You say, what are you talking about? I hear Peter said, be sober and be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking those whom he may devour. I got news for you, honey. I'm not edible. Come on, church. Some of y'all need to get that attitude. Oh, the devil been biting on me. Kick his teeth out and move on. Well, preacher, that's good for you to say. That's what any born-again child of God ought to say. My Bible said resist the devil, and what's going to happen? He will flee from you. Why? Because I'm resisting not in my own power but in the power of God. When the devil come against Jesus, he did not come against him with vain repetition or trying to tell him in his own way. He just said, it is written. The next time a devil shows up at your house, stand at the door and say, hey, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. I have overcome this world because Jesus Christ has overcome the world. Thanks be unto God who hath given me victory through Jesus Christ my Lord, for my God is my rock and my fortress, in whom shall I fear? Hallelujah. The subduing. At this point, the victorious king would put his foot on the neck of the defeated king, hold his hand in the air, and let everybody know, I'm the victor. Hallelujah. You say, well, preacher, you can't give a scripture for that. Oh, I got the picture from the beginning. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Notice what God says. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. 4,000 years before Christ got here, God already let the cat out of the bag. Told the devil, I'm sending somebody who's going to put his foot on your head and let the world know I am he who has victory. Could you say amen to that, church? You say, preacher, that might be good for God, but it doesn't come over to me. Yes, it does. Because you see, when you begin to read the scripture, Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 21, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him, which is all in all. You say, well, that's still don't entertain me. Paul told the church at Romans in the 16th chapter, the 20th verse, I shall put Satan under your feet shortly, meaning he's under there. All you got to do is tap dance on his head, and it's time some of you realize I got the victory, and I'm overcoming him through the power of his divine Christ. Hallelujah. See, it's not hard for God to get you on top of the devil. It's just hard to keep some of you on top. Glory. He said, I'm going to do it shortly. That's kind of fast, ain't it? Don't take him all day. Some of y'all need to realize when he shows up at the house, I'm going to dance on your head. Victory's ours. Man, I've been preaching 15 minutes. Some of y'all, well, he's been preaching too long. I'm going to tap dance on some heads. Church, we have got to realize that we're going to have problems. There are going to be troubles come. Satan's going to do what he can. But can I tell you that as long as you're for God, you don't have anything to worry about? Hello? Say, well, preacher, what makes you sure of that? Because God never changes. And the same God that held the sun still in the sky, or rather held the earth still so the sun wouldn't move. See me after church, I'll show you physical science to prove that. Sun don't move, the earth does. I believe he just reached down while Joshua was praying, said, held it still till they got through whipping the enemy, and then said, put it right back like it's supposed to be. Come on, church. It didn't wobble. It didn't move. It just went right back to going just like it's supposed to. And he's sitting up there keeping it all in order. And the devil's going, I'm going to freeze them out. And God's going, you can't get them that close to the sun, that far away from the sun. I got them right where I want them. Because you realize that if we change 1 degree, we could actually freeze on the other side of the sun as we get away from it. But we're close because God wants us to be right where we are. Can I tell you, church, you need to realize you are somebody. You're a child of God. And because you're a child of God, you got a right to believe Satan can't touch me. He cannot touch my family. He cannot touch what is in my life. Amen. We've got to come to that place where we realize though Satan roars like a lion, amen, he has no teeth to bite because our God is on our side. Victory is ours today. And I believe with all my heart, some of you need to realize this morning, Satan has been stripped. He's been shamed and he is subdued. And all we got to do is understand that and say, wait a minute, I've had enough of this junk been going on in my life. I'm coming out and I got victory this morning in Jesus Christ, my Lord. Stand with me all over the house. Shut up. Let me tell you something, church. Some of you need some victories in your life. Some of you need to let go of some of the things been tearing you up and messing your life up. You need to understand God doesn't want you to walk around with your head hung down feeling sorry for yourself all the time. You know the Bible talks about a sin of timidity? It's in the scriptures. Where you walk around, well, I'm not worthy. Well, if you ain't worthy, you ain't saved. Well, give me that look. If you're saved, you're worthy. If you're not worthy, then you're telling me you're not saved. Well, I'm saved, but I'm not worthy. Yes, you are. You're justified by faith through grace. Hello? Well, you don't know where I'm at. If you ain't got sin in your life, you're a child of God. You're worthy. I had a man told me one time, he said, the Holy Ghost ain't for me. I said, well, it's for everybody born again. He kind of got upset about that. I said, read the scripture. It's for everybody that's been born again. It's a gift. Amen. Come on, church. Well, that's good preaching, preacher, and I like it. It excites me, but it just don't work in the real world. Does if you let it. Does if you want it to. Oh, I never said you wasn't going to have some fire, but you can come out the other side and you ain't even going to smell like smoke. You think those stories in the Bible are just stories? They're just there to excite us? They really happened. Somebody did go in a fire and walk out the other side without any hair singed on the head. Dude did go in the lion then, come out the next morning talking about how great those lions would sleep on. There was guys that actually got out of a boat and walked on water. I said, well, yeah, preacher, that's your problem. You don't believe. See, that's the contrary part of every Christian. You must believe. Not just that I'm going to go to church and believe God going to forgive me or something. The Bible said that if we're going to get from him, we must believe that he is. It ain't about me. It's not about the church. It's about him. And if we understand that, then we understand if I believe he is, then I also believe he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And if I spend my time on him, talking to him, communing with him, amen, then I understand that the devil ain't going to be able to take me down, and the devil's not going to be able to tear me up. Come on, church. Because if he takes me down, greater are the things on the other side. Come on, church. Amen. I mean, Job lost it all. Ain't none of y'all had the day Job had. I mean, he's sitting there, and some guy comes in and says, well, you don't understand. They just came in. All your kids is dead. They got killed in the storm. House fell in on every one of them. They was having a party over at your older son's house. And if that ain't bad enough, dude runs in and said, hey, Chaldeans just stole all your animals, killed all your servants that was out there. Y'all may not understand that, but he lost his family, he lost his finances, and then all of a sudden this other guy comes walking in, he going, Job, it's going to get bad, son. You going down. Boils fit to come up all the next morning, he got boils all over his body. He's out there with a piece of pottery cutting himself open so they'll drain to get the pressure off so it won't hurt so bad. He's sitting in sackcloth and ashes waiting on God to kill him. His wife telling him to curse God and die and don't fall out with that woman because she just lost everything she had too. She just happened to be married to a guy the devil was trying to run from. Hello? Oh, but this other fella come walking up and said, Job, remember the God who could give a song in the night. And I see old Job sitting there just start singing, greater is he that is in me. Hello? Oh, I doubt he got it real loud to start with, but I bet you long about that afternoon he started hanging with it. Come on, church. Amen. You ever read the last of that story? Once he got his mind back on God, everything turned around and he had twice as many kids. So, well, wait a minute, preacher. He didn't have twice as many kids. Yeah, he did, because he still had the other ones. They're just gone. Come on, church. Had twice as much money. Even the people been telling him to curse God die started bringing him money because they knew if I give to this man, it's going to bless me. And they're getting in on it. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? Some of you need to turn loose and grab a hold to God and realize the devil don't want you to know he's defeated. He's been stripped. He's been made fun of. I mean, let's face it, church. Some of y'all remember in high school when somebody really got tore up by somebody, the rest of the year, he'd go by and you go, that's him. I must forgive Jesus. The next time Satan bugs you, you ought to go, oh, that's that dude Jesus wore out. He tore you up the cross, dude. I don't know what you're standing here for, because you got to realize something. He's here. I ain't going to throw a fist. I'm not throwing a punch. I got a brother going to wear you out. Hello? Well, some of y'all missing this because you're standing like, what's he talking about? That's what's wrong with some of you. You're missing it. You'd rather wall around talk about the devil wearing you out than to stand up with some victory and put him on the road so you can move on and help somebody else that's in a ditch somewhere. Come on, church. Some churches are like the factory in Germany started producing grease, and they got to tell me how much grease they could produce, but they wasn't selling much because it took most of what they produced to oil up everything they had to keep it running. And we got churches so busy trying to grease everybody in the church they can't reach nobody else because they had too much time trying to work on the folks inside. It's time, church, for us to get a hold of God, get a good victory in our life, and move into the power of God so we can help somebody else who's down and out and who's in worse shape than we are. Because I'm guaranteeing you, church, you can find them. Amen. All you got to do is look. They're all around you. Because there's a world around you that doesn't even know Jesus Christ, doesn't know what it is to be saved, doesn't know what it is to get up in the morning and say, hey, it's wonderful. Doesn't know what it is when the doctor says, hey, you got the big C, that it's not a big deal because I got the big J taking care of it. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Smile at me. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? Because I know my God is able and I know my God can do it. And as long as I'm holding on to him, nothing's going to happen to me that he doesn't want to happen to me. And if I die tomorrow, it's not because I lost, it's because I've gained a victory in Jesus Christ my Lord. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning, God, for your grace, God, for your power, God, for your anointing. Father God, I believe you today. Lord, open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings in our life. Lord, touch us with your glory. In Jesus' precious name. In Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah.